a longtime sports media guy. Now, director of sports journalism at the Medill School at Northwestern University, J.A. Adonde, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Good morning, J.A. How are you?
Good morning, Vince. Good morning, Dan.
What happening, J.A.?
We're...
O'Neal.
There it is.
He's on fire.
Well, there's another phrase that we used to always say that I think is appropriate for the demise of the Suns. Uh-oh. There. And Vince, Dan and I, we were hanging in the 90s. We had a word, maybe it's more like a sound, but
I forgot.
That's a great way to start this conversation.
That was the way we had summarized when things just go sideways. Like they did for the Suns here.
let's build on the. We might break this down for the rest of our lives, J.A., and never figure it out. Do you have a theory on what you saw in front of your own two eyes from the Phoenix Suns on Sunday?
It's still inexplicable, but it does get back down to the theory that I have, and then it's really hard to win an NBA championship when your best player is my height. I'm about 6 feet, maybe being a little generous there, but Chris Paul is basically my size, and he's been the key player in the ascendance of the Suns the last couple of years. And if you just look at the history, particularly the NBA Finals MVPs, when your best player isn't a guy who can just impact a game without skill. Sometimes you just need size. You need to physically impact a game. You think of the way Giannis, with that block on DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. Sorry to dredge up this history, Suns fans, but that was a pivotal point of the series, and that's something that only a guy with size can make, right?
Yeah.
And actually, somebody forgot Chris Paul had a turnover after. They still had a chance to tie the game, and Chris Paul had a really bad turnover after that block. As great as Chris Paul is, he can't physically impact the game because of his size. And I think that came back into the forefront. They lost to a guy whose best player is a guy 6'7", 230 in Doncic. And Doncic isn't, an Antetokounmpo size specimen, but at 6'7", he can impose his will on a series physically in a way that Chris Paul can and the way that Devin Booker could.
Yeah, there's a big question here going forward, obviously, as it relates to Chris Paul. So if he had a quad injury going into Game 3, which is what Mark Spears has reported, that really plays into Chris Paul's narrative. He has succumbed to injury because of his size in the postseason. What do the Phoenix Suns do to guard against this? Do they have to do something rash to prevent that from happening again? Because I think we all believe the Suns would have one championship and they'd still be alive now if Chris Paul could stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's a key component. That's something you have to factor in. And it's another reason why Devin Booker has to be the best player on the team. And I'm not sure he's quite big enough to fit my requirement. It's generally like 6'6 and above. And Booker, they list him at 6'5". But again, you look at the NBA Finals MVPs, they're generally 6'6 and above. Tony Parker got one. Chauncey Billups got one. I think Dwayne Wade listed 6'5", I think. He's got one. But generally the last, 40, 50 years, the Finals MVPs are 6'6", 6'7", and above. So that's a key thing. Booker wasn't the guy that could be the road guy. So this is I'm getting into the minutiae here, but one way that Steph Curry changed the game is that best players, MVP types, don't get to the line anymore as much as a guy like a Michael Jordan did. Like the value of Michael Jordan used to be that he could go on the road, and when things weren't going well, he could get to the free throw line 9-10 times a game. He was going to get the calls. He was going to play a game. He was going to force the referees to make calls, and you could get some points to just sort of slow the bleeding when things are going awry. Guys like Booker, Chris Paul, same goes for Steph Curry even, they don't get to the line a lot. And that's going to affect your team when you have to win important road playoff games. You need guys that can get to the free throw line, and the Suns don't have those.
J.A. Adonde, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Keeping the conversation where you brought it, J.A., guys with size, and he doesn't necessarily get to the free throw line much either. DeAndre Ayton, restricted free agent this summer. Weird exit from the game. Monty Williams didn't have much to say about it. There was obvious frustration on both sides. But knowing what you know and seeing what you've seen from DeAndre Ayton, what do you think the Suns should do with him?
I mean, where can you replace him? You know, where do you spend that money on if you don't spend it on him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that you obviously, you know, you're capped out. You're not going to be able to go out and get somebody at that rate. I mean, I feel like you bring him back. I feel like he's been a bonus. I mean, there were times last year and going back a couple years ago in the playoffs when he had been their most consistent player in the playoffs. You know, you just hope he matures a little bit. I'm saying he's immature. I'm just saying, you know, the normal growth process, you know, and turns into a star. I would keep. I've been surprised that they've been so reluctant, and you wonder if that factors in. You know, if there's just sort of a general unhappiness that he had this year that he wasn't taken care of. You know, you wonder if that becomes a factor and if it manifests at these critical moments, like in the game seven.
Well, and I think complicating matters, J.A., was a story that just came out that D.A. plays video games 5 hours a day. Now, if you want to talk about an that's what we're talking about there. All right. As a guy that was blessed to cover Michael Jordan, as a guy that covered Kobe, what did you see from Luka in those games 6 and 7? Because it was savage from my perspective.
Yeah, and the way he just had thoroughly enjoyed doing it on the road, and that's what, you know, that was Jordan-esque. You know how much Jordan just lived to just tear the hearts out of people on the road. The thing is, Luka did it with a smile. Like he smiled more in those two games than I think we saw Jordan ever do, Vic. You know, the way he just relished it, the way he wanted the ball in his hands, the way he just lived to just tear the hearts out of the Suns fans, and just he had, felt like he had something to say to the people sitting courtside every time. My thing is, you know, not just Luka. Let's look at Jason Tatum in the East and the way he elevated his game the last couple games of that series against the Bucks. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's very plausible that we could have Luka versus Tatum in the finals this year. And to me, that's the arrival of a new age way ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Right? Like these guys are, you know, both under 25, under 26. You know, for them to take center stage, and again, it hasn't happened yet, but it's very possible. These two guys could be taking center stage earlier than we see. Usually it's at least 26 or 27. You know, you have to wait a little bit longer. So that's what's, to me, it's exciting for the league that, you know, you could have these new stars when we're not done with Giannis. We're not done with, you know, even the – I'm not writing the Suns off and Devin Booker. You know, the Warriors aren't done yet. Ja Morant could get healthy. Grizzlies could be around for a long time. I mean, look at this talent. Like, again, all-time generational Hall of Fame-type talent spread throughout the league. You know, and Vic, we haven't even mentioned Kevin Durant and LeBron James. You know, they're not retired yet either. They're still around. So I just think this could be a demarcation point in the league. And that would actually benefit the Suns, because when I think of some of the comparable disappointing losses that the Suns just suffered, similar to, you know, the Sonics losing to the Nuggets, the Mavericks losing to the We Believe Warriors, we remember those for the teams that lost, right? Because it's not like the teams that beat them went on to a great playoff run.
Yeah.
This could be a different case, and that would actually make it a little more tolerable. You know, if the Suns, if you're going to lose, you might want to lose to the start of a new dynasty.
Yeah, but you're right about that. But it also kind of speaks to the danger in standing pat if you're the Suns, because everything is it's changing fast in the NBA. You're right about that.
And Vic, that gets back to the Ayton component. Is okay? Do you want to invest in a center when the league is clearly going away from the big man?
Right.
That's a risk. But I still think sometimes you want to zag. Right. So a lot of people tried to emulate the Warriors. Very few people were able to do it successfully. It's interesting, too. You know, one of the problems for the Warriors is that they were far ahead. You know, they had Steph and Clay, and they could just make three pointers at a rate that no one else could. You know, they were head and shoulders above the league at that when they first started their run. Now the Warriors are in the middle of the pack when it comes to it, you know, so they're not that exceptional.
Yeah.
You know, and you think back to the Suns, the pace and the three pointers that they got up in the Steve Nash, D'Antoni era. Now that team, their numbers would be really at the bottom of the league. You know, so what the Suns did this year, you know, how would you describe it that sort of put them at the top this year? And is it sustainable? That's the thing. It's like, okay, they were so much better than everybody in the regular season. Can they find a formula that keeps them ahead?
The real,
you know, what do you think that formula would be?
I think one of the things you brought up is very interesting, and that is the need for some real size to kind of buffer everything and everyone once the playoffs.
Like on the wings, right?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
you need more from Mikal Bridges, right? Maybe mm-hmm. he needs to be more of a consistent, you know, guy's yeah. a little bit bigger, you know, very athletic. You know, can you count on him more consistently?
We've talked about maybe if Damian Lillard's available, maybe Portland would bite on something like DeAndre Ayton plus Cam Johnson plus a bunch of draft picks in the future. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe Portland would look at the same way and go, no, we don't want a five.
But I think that gets to the same thing. Like, why hasn't Lillard been to the finals? He's been the best player in Portland. He can't physically impose his will on the
series.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know, I don't think he's the answer.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason, no doubt. J.A., thanks for joining
us today. Good stuff, brother.
Great as always, man. We appreciate it.
Great to revisit you guys. And remember, when things go wrong.